Like, do you want it recorded?
Yeah. Okay. It's going to be on the potty. Oh. No, I don't like it. I don't like potty.
No.
It could be the potty. Potty is podcast. Potty is toilet.
Potty. Hey, Grace.
Yeah, David.
Do you want to go back?
Back where?
Back to the best.
Back to the best?
Back to the best. Hi. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of
Back to the best.
I'm David.
And I'm Grace. And this is our podcast where we talk about all the best things from the 90s to the 2000s, which is also known as
The Best Times. To all of our first time listeners, welcome. To all of our former besties returning,
welcome back. We have a third member of the podcast here today.
We do. The cutest member.
The cutest member. I was thinking, though, it's definitely not her first time listening. I mean, in the womb.
Talk about a former bestie returning.
She really knows the inside scoop. She's heard it all.
She's heard, I mean, things that have been cut.
Oh, you know, I think I heard that we don't remember things. We don't have memories before four. The womb. I remember the womb perfectly. I remember what it looks like, what it felt like.
Wasn't there an actor recently who came out saying that he remembered being born in the womb? Found it.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage.
You know what? I probably should have guessed that it was going to be Nicolas Cage.
He went on Stephen Colbert,
mm-hmm,
and he said, in quotes,
"Oh Lord,
listen, I know this sounds really far out, and I mm-hmm don't know if it's real or not. This is my Nicolas Cage impression.
Mm-hmm, it's very good, spot on.
But sometimes I think I can go all the way back to be in utero and feeling like I could see faces in the dark or something. I know that sounds powerfully abstract, but that somehow seems like maybe it happened.
In utero.
Which we would never question anyone's memories.
No. I just wonder if maybe it was like, what is it? Deja vu.
Mm.
Or like a dream. Sometimes, like, I've had dreams that seem so real.
Yeah.
Like, you have, when you wake up, you have to tell yourself they're not. So maybe Nicolas Cage dreamt.
There is nothing about worse than having a great dream where, like, you get a car or like you win money, you win the lottery, mm-hmm, and then waking up to the realization that
you're just in your bed without the car, without the millions. It's heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking.
So, you know what? If Nicolas Cage, if it makes him happy that he feels that he remembers being in the womb, then great.
Great.
So, but Riley will remember listening to the podcast.
I'm literally gonna remember why we started talking about this.
No, she will remember. She's heard it all. I think our voices are probably the voices she's heard the most. No offense, Tim. You and I talk more than Tim, though.
Picturing you putting Riley down for bed or for naps, and then, you know, most people put like a white noise machine on for the baby or like some like lullabies. You put her down for a nap and it's just, hello.
When I'm getting her ready for bed at night, I'm like giving her a bath. I'm just like talking like I am on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is what happens.
I do have to say, she was a little upset before we started. And the second we started recording.
Happy.
Talking.
Mm-hmm. Baby talk.
She's reaching for the microphone.
Oh, we have dropped. Oh my God. We have dropped the yogurt. Yeah, she's a future podcaster in the making. That's pretty much all it is. I got a haircut today and I was telling my hairdresser.
It looks fantastic. About
the thank you. Telling her about the podcast and how David and I, is it not working?
It's a little self promo.
Oh yeah, no, it's a little, just like telling her a little bit. I was talking, I forget how it came up, and then she was like, oh, what's your podcast called? And I was like, let me tell you all about it. She's a Princess Diaries fan.
I mean, we have like, what do we have? Lily, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
We have four Princess Diaries episodes. Caroline.
Yes.
And then
Julie Andrews, imagine.
Meg
Cabot.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a great podcast if you love the Princess Diaries. But I was telling her how David and I always say when Riley grows up, she's going to go to school and just name all these 90s shows that she's watched over the weekend.
I mean, will kids, hear me out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We had Nick at Night.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to have? Where are they going to see these shows? Disney at Night?
I mean, I guess they can technically watch anything at night because streaming never stops.
Just never. What if you never let Riley experience streaming, so she goes to school.
Like, she just thinks that all, you can like only it watch airs TV. Once a week, like one night a week. I mean, those were the golden days.
Golden years.
Golden years. What are the golden years? They're when you're older, right? Is that what it is?
Well, the golden girls.
Right? Like, isn't the golden years?
Well, the golden bachelor.
Mm-hmm. So it's older when you're older.
Yeah.
So we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're so young. Oh, my God. We're so young.
The youth in this room. Just you, me, and Riley. The youth of America. Youth.
We're so young. Even Cora, she's only six. Oh, my God. We're young. We're so young. Our guest on today's episode's name is Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Which made me remember Lindsay Lohan. Mm-hmm. And I finally finished Irish Wish. We talked about this a couple episodes ago. But something happened and it just was sitting in my Netflix and I forgot. And last night I said, tonight's the night. And I finished it. And thank God she ends up with the cute guy.
Spoiler
alert. I mean, if you didn't know it was coming, you haven't seen a rom-com. But I was just, I loved it. And I thought the scene at the end when she was crying, I thought she did a beautiful job.
No one cries like our girl, Lindsay.
No one cries like Lindsay. But it was great.
It is. I mean, I feel like they're really bringing back classic rom-coms recently. Because mm-hmm. I was on a flight last week and I watched that Sydney Sweeney. Anyone But You.
Yes. Did you like it?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I feel like because I saw some mixed reviews, but it's just a classic rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty people.
Pretty people.
Pretty location.
Funny things.
Pretty predictable.
Oh, yep. Wait, I love that. Pretty people, pretty locations, pretty predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't, there's not many spoiler alerts for a rom-com. You can pretty much see where it's going.
It's a formula, you know? And if science has taught us anything, it's stick to the formula.
Oh, and we love science.
God, Bill Nye?
Bill Nye. I met Bill Nye. I think I've told this story on here. I met Bill Nye one time.
Was it where?
He came into my gym. I was at dance team practice in high school, and in walks Bill Nye. I almost passed out. A celebrity. Bill Nye is a celebrity to the high school age population.
Yes.
Famous. And I know him. What if we got Bill Nye? Should we try to get Riley's Bill Nye? Up. I think we should try to get Bill Nye to come on the podcast.
Bill, if you're listening. He's a freaking listener.
Bill Nye, the science guy. We should email him and just say, dear Bill.
Should we start pitching guests without an email?
Mm-hmm.
We just email a video of us asking them to come on. And then we can do things like that.
I mean, it would be new. It would be unique.
Mm-hmm.
They probably haven't received it before.
Mm-mm.
Would they watch it? I don't know.
But some things that we have watched.
Mm-hmm.
The Color of Friendship.
Oh, love it.
Brave New Girl.
Love it.
Broken Bridges.
Great cast.
Such a...
Oh my God, star-studded. Can't even believe it. Why the heck weren't we in that movie? We would have not stuck to the script. We would have just never been on set. We would have been roaming around talking to everybody.
We also never would have been able to call any of these people by their...
No. Character name. Yeah, no.
We would have just been,
mm-hmm.
Hello, Willie.
They're like, David Grace, you have to stick to the script. Oh, right. Oh, sorry, Willie.
So, Toby...
Like, you guys, it's Toby.
Kelly Preston.
How are we not calling them by their name?
Is this why we haven't been gassed in anything?
That could be it. We've been wondering why, actually.
Yeah.
It has been keeping us up at night.
I mean, that and the fact that we've never tried.
Yeah, it's one or the other. It's got to be one or the other. It's either we've never tried or they're a little afraid we won't stick to the script.
Mm-hmm.
We are available, though.
It's super
for any show or
so
film.
Free.
Mm-hmm. We're so free. Free as
we're
birds.
We're so free and available.
Mm-hmm.
And we were also happy that Lindsay Hahn was available to chat with us.
Good. Very good.
We love a good transition.
We were in there and then we got taken out and then we came right back in. Very, very good. Beautiful.
We are joined today by Lindsay Hahn, who, of course, we loved in the Disney Channel original movie, The Color of Friendship. Then she became what every single 90s, early 2000s kid dream was. She was a movie surfer.
A movie surfer. I wanted to be a movie surfer so badly.
Oh my God.
And of course we asked her about it. We are not going to spoil it, but it sounded like it was as good as we thought it was, which is great to hear, but also a little depressing because we didn't get a chance to do it.
Not yet.
Not yet. There's always, okay, should we bring it back? crap, our wheels are turning. We're going to be the next movie surfers.
We talk all about her time on Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. We talk about her movie Brave New Girl, which, if you didn't know, is based off of a book by Britney Spears.
Britney Spears. Duh. Wow.
Broken Bridges, which we already talked about the cast. We talk a lot about the cast. Mm-hmm. And then she also has a new movie coming out April 19th called Hanky Panky.
It's with her husband.
With her husband and Seth Green.
And Seth Green. Lindsay, her husband, and Seth Green.
The perfect trio.
We really had the best time talking with Lindsay. She is so fun. Mm-hmm. And we hope that you guys get that from listening to this episode.
Yes.
Because it was just a great time.
And here comes the great time.
Here it comes. It's coming right at you.
Here is our chat
with Lindsay Hahn. Now we.
I'm just apologizing in advance. My Wi-Fi has been very slow if I'm laggy today.
So good. Don't worry about it. I just like jumped in. I'm like dropping my kid off at preschool. I did like a, it's crazy today. And now I'm like looking at the lighting. This is my husband's setup. How do I look?
You look fantastic.
I think it looks great. Like David, you know, I think we need to get a backdrop like that.
And
now.
Someone's at my door. Give me one sec.
Background. Okay.
We're having that same kind of day.
So sorry about that.
Do not worry.
Don't worry. Listen, I feel like we're all in the same zone right now.
It's the eclipse, yes. I was like, it's gotta be something. Like, is Mercury, what's it going on?
Yeah, I know. I can't keep up with that. The retrograde. I can't keep up, but it seems like it always is in retrograde.
Yeah. Yes. And there is always some kind of an eclipse, but this one's a big mm-hmm. I have a friend who's really into all of that, like on the schedule, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And always be like, oh, well, you know, this is why that's happening. I'm like, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We all need that friend who can tell mm-hmm. us, because I never know what's going on.
Yeah.
No. David and I had that CoStar app.
Yeah.
And yes. Like, remember that one time? We had a fight one time. The app
Are you recording
said,
this? Because you should... Everyone would be so happy to know. this is good material. Okay.
People listen, they're like, I thought this was a nostalgic podcast. They're talking about CoStar.
Just making Lindsay give us therapy.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. This is my dream. My dream is to have a podcast where I give people life advice. I don't know why anybody would come to me for that, but maybe this is why. Maybe
this is the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's also a corner of the internet that will come to you. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, there's something for everyone.
Oh my God! Yeah.
That I want. Yeah. Yeah, that is the point of the internet. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, so tell me about your fight.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So we had a fight, which we don't fight often.
So yeah.
We had a fight. We had a fight. And I why did we open the CoStar app? But we opened it and it said that there was going to be like a dispute.
Yeah, it knew. Us. It was so
it
weird.
Knew, and we never fight.
Never.
And it knew.
Written in the stars.
Mm-hmm. I think
literally.
I screenshotted it. I have to find it. But and we don't really look at the app very often, but for some reason
I think the last time I looked at it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well,
I know. So maybe there's something in it. I don't know. I'm open to anything.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's incredible. I've had that happen a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I also have friends who like plan their life around their CoStar app, and that's a little much. Mm. But I do like when it like validates. Oh, wait, I don't have to hate my friend. This was just a thing.
Yeah. It was inevitable.
It was, because we were like, something must be off if we're having a spat. We're like, what is it? Turn to the CoStar app.
Okay. That's amazing. Were you both like, let's look at CoStar. Were you like in a fight when you were you?
It was
like,
after. It was after.
Mm-hmm. It was after.
Because as soon as we, it was like one of those deals where like texting was just getting us nowhere. And then as soon as we were able to talk on the phone, then we hung up and Grace sent me the screenshot and she was like, CoStar knew.
You guys are so sweet. That's what friendship you guys have.
I know.
We met, we were just talking about this. It's been 10 years. We were both tour guides on the Warner Brothers lot.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And then we just started this podcast about, what, 6 years now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been...
Back, I was like, these guys have been around for a while. Good for
we
you.
We just genuinely love it.
Yeah.
We love it. And we're so appreciative of people like yourself who give some of your time to talk with us because it's so fun.
What I have to say. Listen to me. It's not...
We'll just call this episode Lindsay Hahn. Listen to me.
There's your podcast title. I'm just saying.
Oh my god. Okay. Well, I'll you know give you guys the credit where credit's due if I ever go there.
Listen to Lindsay.
Listen to me. Listen to Lindsay. Oh, that's even better.
Listen to Lindsay. That's great. Uh-huh. I also kind of like listen to me, Lindsay, because then it's like is she talking to herself? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's a whole other level.
Yeah, yeah. Like sometimes people can come on the podcast and like tell me, like, Lindsay, you need to listen to me. You guys can produce, it'll be perfect.
Okay, yeah. Great. We're in.
We're in so quick.
We haven't even gotten to the interview, but look at how much we've accomplished. I mean, wow.
Productive. Well, I mean, we are very excited to listen to everything about your career today.
We truly are. We will be listening to Lindsay, if that's okay.
I need it. Thank you so
much. Okay, first of all, we saw online that you started acting when you were 3. Is that true? Were you that young whenever you started?
Well, no, it's so weird. I was 5. I don't know if somebody's like trying to change my age to like, if somebody at some point on the internet was like, let's make her 2 years younger. I don't know what's happening. I was 5. Still very young, still freakishly young, probably inappropriately young. I started at 5. There was a friend of the family who worked for a children's agency, and she came and kind of kidnapped me from preschool and took me to my first audition.
Okay.
Okay.
Booked. And then she like told my parents, I'm representing this kid.
She's an actress.
And my dad was on tour, and my mom was a bartender at the Four Seasons. She opened up the fancy Four Seasons in Hollywood.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Maybe this is right. Maybe this is what we should do. So my mom ended up being my driver.
Oh, good mom.
I love that she was so supportive right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, you know, my mom wanted, both of my parents were kind of showbiz people. Like my mom was a dancer, and then she gave that up for my dad to be a musician and to like, you know, support the family while he did that. So she was like, well, wonderful. Yeah, let's do this. She wanted showbiz. They were both from Vegas. So it wasn't like we're from somewhere else. Like showbiz was just a part of the DNA of where they came from.
Wait, so what was that first role then that you auditioned for?
It was an ICM in-house promotional video. And I still remember it because I had to learn how to ride a scooter and go up to a ice cream truck where they gave me an ice cream. And just all day, I was just riding a scooter and going up to an ice cream truck and getting ice cream. And then I licked it and it would fall off on the ground. It was wonderful. It was
that just sounds really great. Fun.
What a dream for a 5-year-old, just ice cream all day.
I was like, is this what this is? Because I definitely want to do it.
I'm in.
Mm-hmm. It's like the best introduction ever.
Yeah. Like, this is great. I got the scooter afterwards. They gave me the scooter. It was like,
oh, even better.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the work began. No.
Yeah. You show up to your next set. You're like, ice cream? Yeah. Where's the ice cream?
Yeah. Excuse me? I have to learn lines now? What?
And you had said that your dad was a musician and went on tour. Was he like, did he play in a band? Did he sing or do both or just a combo?
Yeah. So my dad, I think at that point he was touring with Air Supply at that point. My dad was the lead guitarist for Air Supply for years. I should know these dates. I should know my own like history. He's not the original guitar player. So he's not Australian. Usually my dad was in Air Supply. They're like, oh, you're Australian? No. But he was the main guitar player for most of the run, basically. Mm-hmm. Started off, but he even like wrote some songs, didn't get any credit for it, whatever. That's fine. Still friends with those guys. So as his daughter, I can't be too mad about it.
Mm-hmm. Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
Get credit for those songs, whatever. It's fine. But yeah, he did that for a really long time. He also played with like a lot of different people. He was a very successful session player for a really long time. He played with Yes. He's played Sure. He taught Sheryl Crow how to play guitar.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
I think there was a Madonna thing in there at one point. But I'm like I said, I'm terrible at my own history. But now he does music for commercials and for film, which is
Oh,
like
cool.
he's amazing. I love my dad. He's incredible.
Oh.
So talented. Yeah.
And did that have an influence on you with like singing and kind of the musical background that he has?
Yeah, massively. I mean, both of my parents had such a love for music. So they really, really, my mom really wanted me to have, like, I guess, a good musical vocabulary. So she exposed me to stuff very young. We never really listened to children's music. We listened to, like, real music, like, the Beatles and Chet Baker and Nat King Cole, and those safe music, but music. And I never really appreciated that till I got into my 20s and realized how much a lot of my friends had only grown up with like one genre of music or like just pop music. And it made sense then why like I didn't love Hanson growing up and I didn't love, you know what I mean? Whereas
Not
like all of my friends
the
loved Hanson and I'd be like,
typical.
deal. Yeah, I didn't understand it. I felt so isolated. I couldn't understand why I didn't like them and everybody else liked them. But now I get it a little bit. I just had a different kind of musical influence than they did. But yeah, my dad, he didn't want me to be in the music industry at all.
Oh,
Like,
really?
yeah, he was like, oh, good, I'm gonna have a girl. She won't want to be in the music industry. So he was like always sort of on the fence about, I don't want to say supporting, but like he was just kind of like, well, if you want to do it. He wasn't like, hey, and now here's how you do it. And then this, oh, and then da 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 da. It was only later when I started to really get interest from places that he was like, oh, maybe I need to help her a
Step
little
in
bit.
here.
Yeah, because he really didn't want me to do it. He was like, this is a terrible life. It's unpredictable. People treat you like crap. And I mean, those were the things that I went into it kind of knowing, which was good, which
I
was
was
good.
gonna say, yeah, it's like maybe better to know it than to be really
That's true.
blindsided, you
Yeah,
know? Yeah.
exactly. It was definitely a protection for me to know all of that stuff. And then to have him be like, you're going on tour. Okay, this is about what's happening on tour and blah, 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 blah. Not that anything can really prepare you for that because it is a completely different alien world. But yeah, he helped a lot. My parents are great. They're great.
Aww. How old were you when you went on your first tour then?
My first tour, I was 21 when I went on my first like national tour. Like I did with my hard rock band when I was on the Disney Channel, which is weird. I would like do this hard rock band where I'd like jump around on stage and cuss and scream and then like go back and do the Disney
Could
Channel.
be a movie surfer.
Yeah, I was
Yeah.
very weird. I almost got beat up a couple of times outside of shows because they're like, aren't you in the Disney Channel? And like that was during a time when like you really had to like pick a pony. You know what I mean? Like you really had to choose a path that you were on or else you were a poser, So that it was a little sketchy time to be on the Disney Channel and like in punk rock scenes. Easter raid. And like with that band, like we did like coastal tours like up California or whatever,
Okay.
but an actual real tour, I was 21.
Speaking of Disney Channel, were you a Disney fan before you joined like the Disney family?
No.
Just like never heard of it.
Was such a
What is it?
Nickelodeon kid. I was so
Okay.
hardcore. And now with everything coming out, I'm like,
I know.
what protection? Like
Oh, it's
that's
wild. I know.
pretty amazing because I would have like I wanted to be on Nickelodeon so bad. I wanted to be on Nickelodeon so bad. Because I kind of just felt like Disney Channel was like the softer, safer, younger, less risk-taking side of like kids television. And that really didn't interest me. Like I really wanted to be like a part of the weird, like Ren and Stimpy. Roundhouse, which I know I was too young for, but I loved Roundhouse versus all that, by the way, just in case you're wondering where I stood.
Fair, fair.
Like, you know, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Clarissa Explains It All. Like, that's what
So
I
good.
that world. So Disney Channel, I was not very into. And so I just always, and I was always kind of like an outsider at the Disney Channel too. Like, even there, people, because a lot of the kids who got on there, they were very career minded, like very career driven. Like, I remember one time I was at an audition. Here I am. Like, I'm just gonna, hopefully I'll be okay with telling the story. I think I'll be fine. I was at an audition and Hillary and Haley Duff were there, and we knew each other growing up. And I used to wear all these like big rubber bracelets. And I had said something like, I should probably take these off, but I don't want to, or something. It like came up and Haley was like, why? And I was like, well, every time I take them off, I book a thing. But when I keep them on, I usually don't book anything. And she was like, oh my God, if that were me, I'd just be ripping them off, ripping them off. And I was like, oh, right. You know, like, this is the difference between us. Cause I just kind of wanted to, I don't know. I wanted to act and I wanted to do that, but I wasn't as, I don't know, focused on the industry, like business part of it, which was to my detriment, I think. But I was just more, I was more into the art.
You wanted to wear your bracelets.
I wanted to wear my bracelets.
That's all she wanted. Guys.
My cool rubber bracelets. I'll play this part, but in my own individual way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Disney.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. I feel like today, people, like, that's more encouraged, like, yeah, come in as you, authentically,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
have those bracelets, you know what I mean, like, it, yeah, really is, it's, yeah, way more, it just was the difference, it's in the time,
it
the
was time, way ahead of my time.
Yes. <You're> so- way ahead.
Yeah, but you know, that's it's yeah, I don't know what I was gonna say to button that. I had something to button it, now it's gone, it just flew, that's right, fine,
it'll come,
that's
back, okay, it'll come back,
it really
later.
So when did the script or the audition for The Color of Friendship come across your plate?
I was 14, and that was really, really exciting because I had been auditioning at the Disney Channel and I wasn't stoked about anything, and they kept bringing me in for things, and I was like annoyed with my reps for going on these auditions. I'm such a jerk. God, I was such a jerk. Ungrateful asshole. And so when this came along, I was like, oh my God, like something I actually get to like, act. Like I actually get to do it. And I was really, really, really excited. I didn't have like a ton of education around what apartheid was. Like I knew about racism in, you know, in slave history in the US, but I didn't know a lot about South Africa. So that was really exciting. But yeah, this script came along and it was like actually meaty, actually good. I wasn't playing like some dumb teenage girl or some like victim teenage girl, which were pretty much all of the roles available to me at that time at 14. I was like, oh, and then the cheerleader who, blah, 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 dee, 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 she's like blonde and whatever. So I was really excited about it. And I went to my acting coach and they had said, you don't have to have an accent for the first audition because South African accent is like notoriously very hard. But especially at that time, there was like no reference for South African accents. Like we didn't have Trevor Noah, guys. Like there was nobody, if you didn't know somebody who was South African, like there was no way to really hear it. To hear a real authentic South African accent, you could, there were some movies and which my acting coach told me to watch, I don't even remember, where some actors kind of did it, but you don't really know what's authentic and what isn't. So they were, anyway, they were telling everybody, you don't have to do this the first audition, but my acting coach was like, you really should. And gratefully he had sort of had worked on it at one point. And then he told me to go find this movie called If the Gods Were Monsters. And it was the only movie that was made in South Africa with actual South African people that was available. And I had to track it down. I found it at Hollywood Video. I never returned it.
You're getting a lot of late fees. Your late fees are really racking up.
Are just piling up.
That's what out of business. I don't know. It was really me who was in debt, but it was this really amazing movie, but it was not a great quality. But I basically based my first audition off of that accent and my acting coach and working together. And it was an okay accent. It was And then they just called me back and called me back and called me back. I think I had three or four callbacks in LA. And then they brought me to Toronto for the final call. For the screen test with Shadia, and they brought in a girl from South Africa. Her name was Carly. She was very sweet. And so we ended up actually hanging out together a lot, which was secretly nice for me because I got to hear a real South African accent. And they had paired me with another co they I had a coach in LA. Sorry, they had me coach in LA for like two of the last auditions, and then they paired me with another coach there, and they kept switching up what kind of a South African accent they wanted. Like first they wanted really heavy Afrikaans, but then they realized that's really hard to understand, and this is the Disney, even though historically that would have been my accent. So I hung out with her, I did this accent coach, we did our screen test, and then we went to while they deliberated what they were going to do, we went and saw the Niagara we went and saw Niagara Falls together, her mom and I and my mom, and we spent the whole day together, and it was really nice. And then we came home, and they told us, and apparently her and her mom's reaction, they told her first, and her mom's reaction was like, "Oh my God, we're so excited for Lindsay." Da, 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 da. And when they told me and my mom, I had already started packing. Like I was like,
Accepted it.
I was like, this, like they were gonna come to our room. Kevin Hooks is gonna come to our, he's the director, come to our room and tell us. And I was like, they want a South African girl. Like, why would they hire me? She's awesome. It makes sense. This has been a very cool experience. And we started packing, and he came in to tell us, and then he told us, he was like, "You have the role." And I started crying because I was sad for her, because all of a sudden, like, I was like, oh my God. Like, she was this really sweet girl who, like, was finally getting out of, she had been auditioning in South Africa forever and, like, was trying to break into Hollywood. And this shot. And it was a bigger deal for her than it was for me. Anyway, this is a bummer. Why am I talking about this?
No, I feel like this says a lot about you and her that both of your reactions were not about yourself. Both of you immediately thought of the other person.
And I'm still like, I was so sad for her, and I didn't really know how to handle it, and I wish I had kept up with her, but I didn't, because I didn't know how to not, to not make, I didn't want it to be weird. I didn't,
Yeah,
anyway.
it's a little awkward. She's like, "How have you been?" You're like, "Good. I'm still working on the movie that you didn't get, but I have." But
And now I'm playing a South African, and you
yeah, and you
are
are
like,
South African.
that me, it was
Yeah, it makes
very,
sense.
so anyway, so that happened, and then Kevin Hooks was like, "You should be happy. What are you doing, you crazy person?" And I was like, "Okay, yes, no, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry." Like, he was very disappointed in me not being happy. I am happy. And then working on that movie was just like the most incredible experience, one of the best experiences of my life, to be a part of something that like still affects people. People still come up to me and talk to me about it, and to have it be something that like is so edifying for the world, like Alan Sachs, who was the producer on it, he ended up putting it in like 20,000 schools across America as part of a curriculum with like a workbook during Black History Month, which is just like,
It's amazing.
it's just like so cool to have ever been a part of anything like that. In your, like, if anybody could do that in their lifetime, it's such a blessing. And I definitely like feel it every time anybody comes up to me. I am so happy to hear that that's the thing they're coming up to me for, because it's just a cool, it's a cool impact. to be a part of.
Oh, yeah. And it was like nothing, I feel like, any kids movie or kids show had ever really covered like that. And you said you wanted something to act on. And if you were going to go to Disney Channel, that was the one for you to get.
Yes. Yes. It was. I was just floored. Like, I think I had convinced myself I didn't get it because I wanted it so bad, you know, and it just meant to, it just meant too much because it was, I had done, it's, I can't tell you how much it sucks to audition for things you don't want. It's the weirdest. It's like being rejected by that crappy boyfriend and you're like, wait, you're breaking up with me? Like, I should be rejecting you.
You're like, I didn't want it anyway.
Yeah, it's that feeling all the time.
Yeah.
So then to finally have something that you want, you're like, oh man, this, so it was really cool to be a part of it.
It was at such a time where like, it was the golden age of Disney Channel original movies.
Yeah.
There was like Johnny Tsunami, like Halloween Town, Xenon, and then The Color of Friendship. We all remember like the Let's Watch a Disney, and when there was a new one coming out, cause they just kind of had a schedule at that point, but it was different. And it touched on, like, you even as a kid, you knew watching it that there was more to take away from that movie than really any of the other ones in the lineup of the DCOMs. So it really is just such an important movie.
Yeah. After becoming a part of Disney Channel, then I started giving things a chance. And I do have to say, Xenon was rad.
So good, right?
So good.
So good. So good. I love Xenon. I like science fiction too, so I was like oh well, okay, now I kind of wish I was in Xenon. I wish I was Xenon, fine.
Oh my god, when she could just like go from space down to Earth and be like at her Aunt Judy's house, it was like, can we all just do that?
Please,
it can't be that hard. She's doing it in the 90s and 2000s.
Wait, yeah, then so then you become a movie surfer. When you're a movie surfer, then was it like requirement for you to watch then any Disney movie that was coming out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, actual Disney movies, I have to say, always been a massive fan. It was just Disney Channel I needed a little bit of warming up to. Yeah, I had to watch every Disney movie that came out, which was fantastic. I loved it. It was a very cool, amazing experience, especially because you guys probably don't know this, but we were on strike. Hollywood, like actors, no, it was writers were on strike. So nobody could do anything except for this little loophole. Interstitials.
Okay.
Technically, what Movie Surfers was. We couldn't do commercials. We couldn't do television. We couldn't do all these things, but we could do interstitials. And so it was really nice to be able to work, first of all, when nobody else could work, but then to have all these amazing, cool experiences. Like I was taught how to surf by Kelly Slater.
That's like, so cool.
What? What world is this?
It was every kid's dream to become a movie surfer, and you got to live it out.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome just to be able to like travel and have these experiences. Going to Hawaii with everybody, with the whole movie surfer cast, was such a good memory, and it was so fun. And being able to like shoot, we would meet up like every month or every couple of months. So it wasn't like this full-time job that like took over our lives like other series would, you know what I mean? Like we got to be real people and then come back and see each other and work a little bit. And it was, you know, Bravo owned the show. Oh no, not Bravo. Sorry. Evolution.
Okay.
Evolution, the show. And they were also doing like reality shows at that point. So at one point they were like, you know, this is the stage that we shoot. Was it Real Housewives at that point? Had Real Housewives started or something? Like
something like that.
And I was like, whatever. And now I am like an avid fan. I am rabid for this stuff. And I'm like, Evolution, I was a part of their.
That was me.
I did that. No. I was in those offices. I know.
Let's get her on a Bravo show next.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
My family's really stable. I don't think I can do that. I know. Fair. I am very grateful for what I have.
Oh, I've been binging Vanderpump Rules and just the chaos. I'm on season. Oh. Do you watch it?
Yeah, I'm going on a Vanderpump Rules podcast literally right after this. This is the Fantasy League for Vanderpump,
okay.
Which I am a part of.
I love this.
I'm obsessed
with this.
And it's called the Bravo Games podcast.
Okay.
If you want to listen to it, I am a regular guest. It's actually, I do have to say that I have to take credit on this podcast because I can't take credit on their podcast.
Take
We
all the credit.
so we are in kind of a nerd group, and my husband ran a fantasy league for Game of Thrones. Near the end of Game of Thrones, I started to get into Real Housewives, and I was like, we could gamify this show. And he was like, what? How? And I was like, well, first of all, just like anytime anybody gets invited to anything or disinvited, like these are gain lose point situations. Then when they're there, then like, being terrible to it. I mean, there's new outfits, like there's just so much. And so he was mulling it over, and then he tried to do it for Potomac last year. Or no, not Potomac, Salt Lake City. And it so much work because now we have two kids, and running a fantasy league is too much. But I have my friend Michelle, who is a gamer, and we had mentioned it to her that we could gamify the show, and that's what got her into even watching any of the Bravo stuff. And now she's like intensely in, and she was like, I could take over the fantasy league. And I was like, you could? She was like, yeah. And I was like, I'm gonna convince Nick to give it to you. I'm gonna convince Nick because it's just play. I just want to play. I don't have the time or the bandwidth to do it. I just want to play. I want to play. I want to be on podcasts about it. I don't want to do the podcast. I just want to be on the podcast. Yeah,
Just to talk about
I just
it.
want to talk about it every once in a while, like not on a regular time. So it has happened. I have manifested
You
my.
did it.
You did
And
it.
now Michelle is running the league, and my friend Christina does the podcast. And every once in a while, they have me on. And so I'm
Oh, that's
going.
the best setup
I
ever.
love this.
It is my dream. I get just like all of my own fantasy points. I award myself 100 fantasy points for.
I'm refusing to like skip ahead. I'm watching it in order as if it's like this big dramatic scripted show. Right now I'm at Tom and Katie are engaged and Lisa just said no to, or that she wouldn't say yes to officiating the wedding yet.
I love it. Oh God. And because you kind of know, well, obviously, because Scandoval like took over.
Yeah.
So where some of these
We know
things,
where some of these are going.
but it's I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. I'm so
Thank
envious.
you.
What an
Thank you so
achievement.
much. Thank you.
It's work. It's
It is.
work. You're doing
It's a
it.
lot. It's a lot of episodes. Thank
A lot
you.
of
Thank you,
people
Lindsay.
watch, like they let out like a highlight reel of like you can watch these 10 episodes to be caught up on Scandoval. That's not enough. That's
No.
not.
We need the full backstory.
You need to be on the emotional journey. You know what I mean? You need to know what we all went through before it happened to really understand the madness that happened when all of that crap was revealed.
Grace, Grace, you have to start.
Wow,
Oh,
what a.
I'm so ready to. I am obsessed with a reality show. That's so my thing. So that's like literally next on my list.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for you. What reality shows do you watch? I know this podcast isn't about that, but just tell me.
Oh
We
my God.
always sneak reality in.
We always sneak them in. So like, I mean, I can go way back. Like I loved like The Real World, and my husband and I love The Challenge. And
Yes.
I used to watch like The Hills, The OC. Right now, oh, we're obsessed with The Traitors.
Oh my God, the Traitors,
We've
Phaedra.
watched like every country's version.
Really? See,
Yeah.
I've only watched the US
Oh,
version.
it's
Yeah.
so good.
David and I love Big Brother.
Oh,
Yes.
yeah. Big Brother's so good. I've only watched a few seasons of Big Brother.
Okay. That is a commitment.
That is a
Three
real.
nights a week.
Yeah,
Oh
that's a
yeah.
lot. That's a lot. There was a moment where I had committed and I watched like two seasons of it, and then I got pregnant and had a baby. So I had to give that
It's a
one
lot to keep
up.
up with, especially then.
Yeah,
Oh
now
yeah.
like Vanderpump Rules now has the Valley spinoff. Now I've got to watch the Valley too. I've got to keep up with all my Housewives, Vanderpump
I
Rules.
was gonna say I've watched
It's a
some of the
lot.
Housewives. Oh,
It's a lot.
I'm also watching Summer House and Winter House. I mean, get me out of
It's a
here. What am I?
lot.
Who is this person? Like,
Everyone's like, your friends are like, we haven't seen Lindsay in like a month.
I know. I'm
What's she
like,
doing?
Disney Channel because I want to do art. And now, like, as an adult, like, if my childhood version could see the adult version of me who only watches reality television show because I don't have time to watch like very, fancy artworky shows, I would just myself. Love it. I'm present Lindsay is happy with present Lindsay, and that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Back to past Lindsay though, real quick.
Yeah, anyway, sorry.
Right.
We digress.
I love past Lindsay. Let's talk about past Lindsay.
I was so happy whenever I discovered that Brave New Girl is on Amazon Prime.
Oh my God.
Because I loved that movie growing up, and then rewatching it the other day, it just like brought back so many memories from when I would watch it growing up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my husband is Nick Roth, is Grant in that movie. That's my husband.
How did I not know that?
That's my husband. Most people don't know that.
My mind is blown.
With that. I love that.
Yeah.
Earlier we were like, you sound like a great team. Now it makes sense.
We've seen
it. Yeah. We fell in love with each other on that set. That is very near and dear. Very near and dear to our hearts.
I feel like based off of your answer earlier of like what music you listened to growing up, I kind of know the answer to this. Because I also never realized as a kid that it was based off of a Britney Spears book. Were you a Britney fan before?
No. I was such a dick about it, guys. I did an interview with People magazine and I was like, yeah, I'm like, so the anti-Britney? Like, what was my problem? Get off your pedestal, weirdo. Like, you just, Britney Spears is rad. She's iconic. Deal with it. The magic is happening now and you're a part of it, jerk.
You're in it. You're in her best times.
Yeah. She handpicked me. She was like, she reminds me of me.
Did she really?
Yeah. They were going to go with somebody else. And she handpicked me. She and the director, thankfully, which was Nick's father. But at the time, I had.
This was all meant to be.
Really?
Every part of it.
Yeah, we say that we owe our relationship to Britney.
Oh,
for sure. God. She was actually very cool. I met her the last audition. And like she was 3 hours late and showed up with a full camera crew. And there were other people in the audition. There were two other girls who were auditioning. One of them got so nervous once the camera crew showed up that she bit her fingernails down and was bleeding in the audition. Her hands behind her back. And the other girl just like totally went mute and got really scared. But because I had been on Movie Surfers, I had a comfortability in front of the camera that they didn't have, and so it didn't faze me. And I think that might be part of the reason why I booked it, was actually because I wasn't it was ET, Entertainment Tonight was there, they were like filming behind the scenes of it all. And I think that part of the reason why my audition was okay was because of Movie Surfers, because I had already had that kind of training.
Oh, that had to be a huge help.
Yeah.
But then once the cameras, like, she like walked in, she's like, hey, y'all, blah, 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 blah. And then the cameras went down and the two girls went, like, they were so freaked out. And she immediately dropped her facade and had a real voice and was like, welcome to my life. And that was like,
wow.
Right before she went to Vegas. Like when we were shooting, she went to Vegas and the People magazine came to the set and they were like, do you know where Britney is? And I was like, what the fuck would I do?
Like, not a scheduled person, just a random.
No, to interview me. But really, I think she was there to see if I knew where Britney was. And she was like, yeah, you know, it's crazy. Nobody knows where she is. And that was my first real touch with like fame and what that actually meant. Mm-hmm. And I was like, uh-oh. Maybe I don't want this. Like this whole thing that I've been working for since I was 5 years old. Maybe I don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're upset that they don't know where Britney Spears is. Like nobody knows where she is. Isn't that a good thing? Like doesn't she have time to not have tabloids know where her every fucking move is? And it was my first real like veil being lifted. From that point on was a fan of Britney's because after that she like shaved her head. She was real metal after that.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Toxic was such a good song. And then I was like, I love Britney Spears.
She would have been all about the rubber bracelets.
Oh yeah.
Oh, she would have loved them.
Yeah. Now I know what she meant. Now
I know.
Now I get it.
It's like such a, you hate to say that it's a good thing, but that people's stories are being told now because it helps going forward that, you know, God forbid this kind of behavior never happens again to anyone. But it's just, horrible that it, you know, it went on.
Yeah.
And people knew about it too. And they just kind of, some people just let it go on and let people be treated that way.
Well, it's the machine. Like,
we
are all, you know, well, we're all cogs in the machine. And so then a lot of us are just like, well, I'm a cog in the machine. I've got to make money. I've got to like feed my kids or pay my rent, you know, whatever. Yeah. We got to just keep going. This is what's happening with her. So not my problem, you know. And it's kind of a lesson in the not my problem of it all, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we really did love that movie. So she did a great job. You did a great job. Yeah. Nick did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you, Britney Spears, our queen. We love you.
We do. We love her.
And then you just went right on to another iconic cast with Broken Bridges. The cast of that movie is crazy.
I know. Isn't it crazy? It's crazy. I just... With what happened with Toby's passing recently, I like revisited it. I watched it for the first time in a really long time with my 3-year-old daughter.
Aww.
The day that he passed, and it's wild. It's wild. Mm-hmm. It's really another once in a lifetime blessing that I have had in my life. That like, wow, if this was the one thing in your life, this would make your life. You know, and it's one of the many that I've been very lucky to have. Being able to share a stage with Willie Nelson is insane. And Burt Reynolds and like what? And Kelly Preston was like,
yeah,
so sweet. And her children were so sweet. And yeah, what a crazy world.
Another one where you get to then like showcase how amazing you can sing as well. That song's so good in the movie.
Yeah, we had the same writers as Taylor Swift's writers. Because we were both on the same label at the same time. I auditioned for that movie. They wanted to sign me to the record label, which at that point was Big Machine and Show Dog. So it was Toby Keith was paired with Big Machine's label head. Mm-hmm. And they had their own label. And I was in a hard rock band, so I said no. And I said, I don't want to do country music.
Not my thing.
Not my thing. Mm-hmm. Great. I grew up in LA, would feel like a poser, as I have called, you know, to call back to earlier in the episode. I've already defined that term for you. Anyway, so they said, we want you to sign. I said no. And then they came back and they said, no, really. And we want to do what you want to do. And I said, okay. I was losing my drummer for my band at the time. And so I was like, okay, maybe this is the thing to do. And then maybe I can bring eyes on to my band after I do this or whatever. So then we, Broken was chosen for the movie already. I showed up to learn the song because they didn't want to send it to me ahead of time. This is when like everybody was freaked out about songs getting leaked and they didn't know exactly. They didn't totally understand how that was happening. How were hackers doing it? You know, nobody would ever let you have your music. Mm-hmm. So they flew me to Nashville and I showed up to Randy Scruggs, which most people don't really know who Randy Scruggs is, but he's like royalty. He's like old school country royalty. His his dad was Flatson Scruggs. They did the Beverly Hillbilly theme song. He created a new way of strumming, like big deal. So I showed up to his studio and, you know, Willie Nelson's there. And
no big deal.
Casual.
And even though I'm not a country music fan, I am actually a really huge Willie Nelson fan, like songwriter. Hello. He's incredible. He wrote one of my favorite songs, Don't Wake Me Till It's Over. If you haven't heard that song.
I know that one.
No. But like maybe if we heard it, we would know.
Yeah.
Because I sometimes am terrible with like the connecting the name of a song with a song.
It wasn't a huge popular song, but like if you've ever been through a breakup or anything really painful, the chorus is Don't Wake Me Till It's Over, Till the Memory of You Is Gone. It's so good. Anyway, so he's there and I'm like, what? And then they like throw me into a van and play the song for me, which I was skeptical about.
You know? Just throwing you into a van.
Yeah.
Well, that. And then also I'm like, I only like hard rock music. And so dumb. And I listen to Broken and I cry the first time I hear it. It's beautiful. I was like, I feel like this is my song. Like there was something that just resonated so hardcore. And so I learned it that day, and we did a scratch vocal that day with all of the musicians. And then I was able to take that and have that recording and like under the most protection ever, like a physical CD that I had to sign, you know, like don't put it digitally ever. And then I, a few weeks later, recorded the main vocal once I like really got attached, really got comfortable with it. And that song, I mean, there's just something really, really magical about it. Oh, and then later I played Taylor's first show with her, which most people don't know.
What?
And yes, and she was a child. She was a little tiny. I want to say she was like 14. And it was because we were both on the same record. So the record label was doing a showcase of all of their new talent. So she came up to me and she was a Disney Channel fan and she was a fan of mine. And she shook my hand like Disney Channel fans do. And her hands were shaking and she was like
Aww.
so sweet and her mom was so sweet. And then she played a song she wrote and was incredible. And then I played. I mean, and now looking back on it, like what?
No one ever heard from her
Man,
again. Where'd she
maybe
go?
she'll
And
become
no one
something
ever
one day.
poor girl.
Yeah, we wish her
Poor girl.
luck.
She had dreams.
Yeah, we wish
She had
her a
dreams.
lot of
We all
luck.
have dreams. No, and it's okay. It's
Yeah,
okay. You
she's
have
gonna
to
make it.
accept
She
the
can make it.
cards that, you know, life dealt you. And
That's so cool. That's such a
that
cool
is
story looking
so
back on.
cool.
That's so cool. Like, what if it's so cool. It's such a, I think about that so much. And like just watching her rise to fame has been the coolest experience. Well, so the record label split, and Toby took Big Machine. No, Toby took Show Dog. The other guy took Big Machine, and they split their two young girl acts. So Toby took me, and Big Machine took Taylor.
Okay.
And they were, it was not a amicable divorce, so they were competing with each other. They told all the radio stations, if you interview Lindsey Hahn, you cannot interview Taylor. If you interview Taylor, you cannot interview Lindsey Hahn. If you Lindsey Hahn sing on your show, you cannot have Taylor sing on your show. So they were pitting us against each other, which is part of the reason why we didn't stay in touch, because it was weird. And I remember thinking that it was super fucked up, and I didn't even want to be a country star. And they started telling me that the radio stations started choosing me. I remember we were on Toby's jet, and Toby's manager was like, "They're choosing you, buddy. We're winning because of you." And it was like a sports, like we were on a sports.
Just a game.
And I was mortified because this girl had looked at me with those eyes that I would look at one of the people that I was a fan of. Specifically Fiona Apple in my head. Not that I would compare myself to Fiona Apple. I'm not as cool as Fiona Apple. Like when people compare themselves to Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to do that. But I just remember thinking like I am stealing this girl's dream. And I started writing a song called Stealing Someone Else's Dream. And it was one of the main reasons why I left country music was because I couldn't stand taking away from this little girl, Taylor. So being able to watch her, especially this year, is like the coolest. It's the coolest thing to see. And I'm not saying that it's like my fault or my that
No.
I can, but
No.
it's like to root for somebody and then to watch them flourish and to know that like maybe I played a little bit of a part in her being able to do that is amazing. Anyway.
Oh, and
Oh my
another thing that
gosh.
just shows who you are as a person, same thing with the
Yeah.
Color of Friendship audition, that your first thought is never about
Is the
yourself, you're
other
thinking of the other
person.
person.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, now look, I'm just telling, see, this was my plan, was to tell you all the stories about music movement.
No, I also feel like obviously we do not know Taylor Swift, but I feel like if you got back in contact with her and were to tell her that, like she seems like a very famous normal person. Does that make sense? Like she seems like someone who can
Like
connect with people.
grounded.
Yeah, even though she is a huge star. And I just want that for you, to have that moment to connect with her and be able to share that story with her.
That would be amazing. I feel, you know, like,
just to tell weird. Her.
It would be super. I mean, I
you I, cry. She's like,
you were a fan of me once. Remember when I was on the Disney Channel?
You have like the poster up on your phone. That's me.
I'm still the same girl.
Yeah. Hey, you remember me? I helped. No, I mean, if our paths were to ever cross again, that would be amazing. But yeah. She's, I'm so stunned by everything that she's done. I mean, as a writer, then she was amazing, and she's amazing. She's just grown, and it's so cool. So it's, I am happy to watch from afar. I cannot explain to you how happy it makes me.
Seriously, thank you so much for coming on and like,
oh my God, all these, this has been an stories. Actual blast.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. You guys are so fun. I love that you guys are like really real for real friends, and that you told me about your fight.
I know. Oh my God, our fight.
We really just met you and went right in.
You just had that vibe.
This is what I want. I try to foster this kind of an environment. Welcome to Lindsay's womb-like environment where we talk about emotions.
You do a great job. And we'll be on the lookout for Listen to Lindsay, the podcast.
Thank you. Oh, and actually, let's do this. Hanky Panky.
Tell us about Hanky Panky.
My husband was like, make sure you plug Hanky Panky. I know you're terrible at plugging things. So okay, so maybe that's why he set this up. Okay, this is our poster. Hanky Panky. We did this movie. It's very, very, very silly movie. It's coming out 420 weekend. Seth Green is a voice in it. It's about a napkin that can talk. Mm-hmm. But it's not a cartoon. There's blood. It's a comedy horror movie.
Okay.
It's very weird. It's very dumb. If you are in the mood for a very weird and very dumb movie to watch on 420 weekend for, you know, whatever reason,
it's a random date, you guys. It's just a random date.
That is perfect for this movie. If you know what I'm saying, watch.
We're right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the name.
You had us. Hanky Panky's a great name.
Wait, what'd you say, David?
I said you really had us too right away with Seth Green. We love Seth Green.
Oh, great. Yeah. And he's so funny in it. And everybody's so funny in it. It really is like the cast makes it. I'm not sure about the directing. I'm not sure about the script, but the cast. Let's talk about that. They killed it.
Where will it be like streaming?
So it's a VOD release. It's 420 weekend. So that's video on demand, which means you have to pay for it. Amazon is where I'm trying to get everybody to go because that's where we will make the most money.
Good to know.
But you can get it anywhere. You can get it anywhere, but please do it on Amazon. Oh, and my dad did the music for the movie too, which is
awesome. That's awesome.
It's a whole family affair.
It is a family affair. It's a cool little Easter egg.
I love that.
Yeah. So I'm very lucky. He's like, to have all of the friends and family that I have around me to make this movie is work. It's good. It's
good. Awesome.
I no more words. I'm done. We're done. and now the robot that was behind, they'll shut down.
I feel like we need a part two because I feel like there's still so much more to talk about too.
Oh, I love being on podcast, guys. I just want you to listen to me. Just listen to me.
Okay, but for real, when Grace starts Vanderpump and we decide to do an episode talking about Vanderpump, you're in.
Oh my God, please, 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 please.
Yes.
Please, please, please,
please. Well, thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you.
Thank you. So nice to meet you guys too.
Have a great day. Have fun on the next podcast.
Yeah, have fun.
I will. Such a great coffee.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, mm-hmm. Question for you.
Okay.
You can go back in time, okay?
Wow, okay.
You can choose one Disney Channel original movie to be a movie surfer and like get to go to the set, get to like meet the cast, get to do all the movie surfer things. What DCOM are you choosing?
We are so bad at picking just one thing on this podcast. The first one that came to mind, I would have loved to see the set of Xenon.
That's what I was going to say.
I mean, space. I want to go on all of the sets from that movie.
And it, like, they filmed in all these crazy locations too.
Yeah. That one comes to mind for sure. Wasn't the second one in like Australia or New Zealand or something? Yeah. Okay, well, I'll say Xenon. That's the one that I would want to go back and just interview the cast, be a part of, go on the set, bring everyone the inside scoop. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I think I would say Xenon, followed very closely, if not equal, by Halloween Town.
Yeah.
To see, like, because I saw the town last year when I was in Oregon, but it wasn't decorated.
No, it wasn't Halloween.
I know that they decorate it for, like, every Halloween, but just to see it all in her glory.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to bring back Movie Surfers. We're going to have nothing movie. To do. We just want the title. We kind of just want the title.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just stay tuned.
2024, the year of the Movie Surfer.
The year of the Movie Surfer. But how great was it hearing from a Movie Surfer herself?
So, oh my God.
We loved that Lindsay shared about her experience being a Movie Surfer. Mm-hmm. Of course, working on all the amazing stuff that she's done. And I actually think the three of us would be genuine friends in real life because she loves the reality shows like we do as well.
Oh my gosh.
Loves them.
Yeah. I'm about to start watching. I feel like I have to start watching the
Real Housewives. I know. Like I said, I've seen a few seasons, but I definitely need to watch more. And then we need to have her back on to discuss.
Yes.
Because she is so into them.
Yeah.
So into them.
Our spinoff reality podcast.
Which is coming. It's out there.
It's not coming.
Well, we hope you guys loved this episode. And if you loved this episode, that means you love Lindsay, yes. right? And if you love Lindsay, mm-hmm. you are going to love to support her.
Love, mm-hmm. love.
And we're going to let you know where you can do that.
Yeah, you can do that on her Instagram, which is at Lindsay with an E, Haun, H-A-U-N. And you can really support her this weekend by renting Hanky Panky on Amazon Prime.
Rent it. Check it out. You will love it. You can also check out us. We are at BTTV Podcast most places.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
And Twitter.
And Twitter. And then Facebook or Back to the Best. TikTok.
I think TikTok you can put both.
Oh, okay, great. You can put at BTTV Podcast or Back to the Best.
Yeah.
But you want to know where we make it easy. If you go to our website, it's www.bttvpodcast.com. It's all right there.
And also, we talked about Broken Bridges and the song Broken. And if you haven't heard it, look up Lindsay Haun on Spotify. It's there.
Oh my God, you will not regret it.
And you also won't regret tuning in next week.
Nice. Because if you do tune in next week, we're still going to be here.
We're still going to be here. And we are definitely going to be taking you
back to the best.
Bye. That was so professional.
I think that was a professional outro. Good for us.
Well, we didn't record.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding. We did.